Just as remain seated, we'll close our eyes and sing the first verses. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, is that it? I seek thee, Lord. All right, we'll sing God Save the Queen then. In there, well, he's already done that. Enough said, I shouldn't have asked you a thing. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for your goodness to us and for the joy of working for you and with you and because of you. And we see this country and the world with all the information. It needs the gospel. And we thank you that there's breath in our body today. And so we ask you to increase us in our faith and in our understanding and in our effect. And I'd ask you to help me now as I speak and your people as they listen, that we may do your will. Thank you. In the name of Christ, amen. During the missions that I've completed, and I don't know how many, but there was a period where I was going to the public schools of Britain, and I went to some very large establishments, and Felsted, Oundle, Stowe, various other, quite a string of them, including the Felixstowe Girls' School, where many missionaries went onto the field, I was told, several years later, because of the result of the mission. In fact, when Peter and I went down to do preparation for Felixstowe years later, one of the mistresses said to me, Mr. Cousins, there were 64 young ladies that went to the mission field from that school. I think a lot of that's to do with it, with the house mistresses, but that's what she said. When I was at Bedford School, I went, as is often the case, to the whole assembly, boys and masters, and this is how it began. I said, my name is Mr. Cousins, I'm a Church of England clergyman, and I've come here to do a mission. I don't tell lies, and I'm not here to make a fool of anybody. Could I ask the whole assembly, is there anyone here who would take me at my word? And eventually a little boy put his hand up. I said, what is your name? I forget what he said it was. I said, would you please come up here? And he stood there to my left, and I said to him, what is your name? And he told me, I said, I don't tell lies, my son, and I won't make a fool of you. I have down my left sock an envelope with money in it. Do you believe me? He said, yes. I said, tell the audience you do. He said, Mr. Cousins has got an envelope down his left sock, and I believe him. So I got the thing out to total silence. And I gave it to him. I said, read what it says on the envelope. There's a £10 note in this envelope. And its serial number is this and this and this. I said, do you believe me? He said, yes. I said, open the envelope. He opened the envelope. I said, now read the serial number from the £10 note. So he said, what the serial note was. I said, well, thank you very much. You can keep it. And he looked at me astonished. I then said to the audience, who wants to trust me now? The great thing was, which is true, and the point of it is, we made friends that day. We made friends. I don't know if I ever saw the boy again. But we made friends. What he did pleased me. What I did pleased him. And that's what faith does to God. I read to you the passage that somebody has already anticipated, and then we'll proceed. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their approval. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which were not visible. And without faith it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Three things to begin with if you have faith in God. First of all, you get divine approval. It's lovely to get approval. But the Bible says you get divine approval. And when you get divine approval over small things, it moves you to bigger things. I've always believed in praying for God to open a door for the Word. Just praying. You receive divine approval. It says, they pleased God. To live a life pleasing to God is the greatest way to live, and it's the happiest way to live. You live to please God, and you can be sure of this, you'll have your troubles, but you'll know the nearness of him. And I've loved the nearness of God when all else failed. I love the nearness of God when threats were there. I love the nearness of God when my pockets were empty. I love the nearness of God when they said it can't be done. I love the nearness of God. The nearness of God. It's the most beautiful, the most valuable, the greatest thing when the heart knows but a fraction of it, which it begins with conversion. It's the greatest thing in the world. And it's what every heart wants. With all the money, all the Maseratis, all the films, all the women, what the human heart, once they could touch it once, that one touch of the nearness of God, I say this without blaspheming, by God. It's good. Pleasing him. I said to a couple I hope would be here today, he's just become a Christian, and went over there to a bit of follow-up in Long Stanton. And she was just chatting away, and I don't know why I said, I'd love to live my life again. She said, would you? I've never heard anyone say that before. Now, we've all had troubles, and we have troubles today. But I would, you know. There's a few friends I wouldn't make. Don't provoke me. And what I want to say to you, beloved in God, special people, is this is the bedrock of our faith. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. And they said to him, yes, you can. And he did. It's the bedrock of this ministry, faith. I love to see these things. They're very fancy and they're very good. And we've even got electricity. But faith is the bedrock. Faith is the bedrock. Faith is the bedrock. Faith is the garden. Faith is the tree you climb. Faith is the air you breathe. Faith puts money in your pockets and it brings people into the kingdom of God. Faith, faith, faith. He then lists in this passage, I kept it short because of our time, he lists 17 people who please God. I'll read them out to you. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, people of Israel, and Rahab. All of these he defined. He then said, time does not have for me to say about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. They pleased him. This whole list of people. And I want you to notice, I want you to notice how many of those were our age. Yeah. 80 plus, when we're ready for something special. Just because the bones go doesn't mean to say the heart goes. God uses maturity. That's been dawning on me. Isn't it wonderful? Every step of the way are flowers by the wayside. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. God's purposes, I've written here, were carried out by people who had true faith, and the faith was spread by the faithful. It's gone into all the world. Our life as Christians is based on faith. Who, it says, and this is Hebrews 11:33, which Peter and I chose all those years ago, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, etc., etc., etc. It's the same Lord, the same needs, and the same opportunities today. I counted in John's Gospel, in my old concordance, there is the word believe comes 63 times in the Gospel of John. 41 times they're found on the lips of Jesus. And often with a question. It's very, very important, my dears, with all our technology and with the world in which we live and the troubles we have. That's F for faith. A, now it can be many things, but it can mean being alone. There's nothing like being alone. Some are better at it than others, but Jesus was alone. I've been looking up the references. I won't give you them all. But you know that he spent all night in prayer before he chose the disciples. He was the embodiment of wisdom, but he needed to be alone to get his mind clear. If the Son of God, who threw the world into being, needed to be alone with the Father for consultation, how much more scabs like us? Truly, truly. The dear blessed Savior, all night. Have you ever tried praying all night before he chose them? And then it says, a great while before day. I remember old Jack Wilde preaching on that in Hemingford Gray. He was a Yorkshire fellow and a lay reader. He said, it went out a great while before dawn. Because he wanted to be unhurried. He wanted to be uninterrupted. And he wanted fellowship with the Father to be unending. What three wonderful words. And how true it is. Isn't it wonderful? Unending. The Savior did it. My dears, it's easy to get caught up. To have that mobile phone, which is so handy now when you're away from home, to be able to say, excuse me, can I use your phone? Yes, but don't be long. Now you've got your own phone, you can phone anytime. These are convenient, but they're also inconvenient. Take a grab of it. It means being alone. Sometimes it's very, very good for the soul to be absolutely silent. Listen to this great saying. Silence is the great element in which great things fashion themselves together, that at length they emerge fully formed, majestic, into the daylight of life, which they are then henceforth to rule. I'm not a man for doing lots of things that others are capable of doing. But I must say this, I force myself at times just to be alone and to be still. To be still. It refreshes you so much. Listen to what dear old, I've forgotten his name, John Bunyan. John Bunyan said these words, "If we do not have quiet in our minds, natural comfort will do no more for us than a golden slipper upon a gouty foot." It's true, isn't it? Those buzzing things, those worrying things. The only way I know to get rid of worry is to go to the Lord and say, when you pray to me, "Yes, I've delivered it." I'll make that my last point. I've delivered it. Faith is born of prayer. And sometimes if you're fasting, I don't fast these days being diabetic, I get a bit quidgy at about lunchtime. But if you, let me say this to you, if you do go along to be with the Lord, and may I say, it is possible you can get irritable because you haven't eaten. It may be that you can't sleep, or it may be that you're very hungry, or that you just fall asleep. I would say be patient with yourself. God sees it all. He accepts sacrifices. You haven't got to be smart. I do remember hearing Archbishop Ramsey one day being asked by a student how long he prayed. He said, "About 2 minutes." It took me 20 minutes to get there. But then, about 2 minutes. God accepts little loaves and little fishes. He accepts a little bed if it's given in love. He'll accept a child's prayer. And he'll accept an unbeliever's prayer that you might call he is. Didn't you make a prayer before you knew the Savior? And didn't he put his ear to it? God always puts his ear to prayer, my dears. No matter who says it, even in jest. Faith touches God. Wonderful things can happen. Moody said, "You can trace every activity and great work of God to a kneeling figure." So it could be alone. It could be action. Notice that list I read to you. Notice their action. Abel offered. Enoch was taken. Abraham obeyed. Sarah received power to conceive. Isaac invoked. Joseph foresaw the Exodus. Moses got them out of Egypt after generations. The people crossed the Red Sea. Rahab welcomed the spies. Gideon laid a fleece. Samson fought with a jawbone of an ass. David had one stone in his sling, which started the whole affair when he came to Goliath in the name of the one true God. Samuel heard him whisper in the night. Elijah called on him against the prophets of Baal. All these were active. And my dear, as the book of James says, you say you got faith, I show you faith by my activity. And Jesus said, it could be action, it could be alone, it could be by asking. Of course it's by faith comes by asking God. Ask great things of me. John chapter 10, verse 10. ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Asking is the A in faith. I'm now a bit hesitant. I just want to give you, I want to give you four little pictures of how, for me, faith became born. The first one was a December night in the digs, not a Christian. I'd been going to church. They gave me a Bible. The mirror was like this. You might have heard this, some of you. It was a Baroque mirror, all covered with ivy. I had two upturned vases covered with tissue, candles burning on them. I was with my friend Gerald Bloodworth. I had this Bible with the covers coming off of it. I was smoking a senior service, and I said to my friend Gerald Bloodworth, I said, have you seen this? He said, what? I said, John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, what does that say? Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And I said, I know it sounds stupid, I said, what should we ask him to do? He said, I don't know. I said, do you mind? I think I'll ask him to put that candle out. And I put my hands together like this. And I said, dear God, would you put that candle out? I said, the one on the left. And the candle dripped wax all over this paper and it caught on fire. And the fire started to reach up and caught hold of the holly and the ivy that had all been stepped in all the Baroque mirror. And then it went out. And all these papers were floating down, just as quickly as I've almost told you. Gerald Bloodworth dived on the floor and said, we've been playing with the devil, we've been playing with the devil. Pardon me, you'll think it funny, but I lit up a senior service. And I took about 2 inches off of it. I thought, Lord above. And then my first sting of faith, he was there really beating the floor. It was that dusty and that bad. I said to him, get up. I said, we ask God. I said, God can hear that. And God can't deal with the devil. He's not God. Get up. And then beyond that, I started to read the faith by C.T. Studd and the other one who lived by faith. What was his name? And Hudson Taylor. Anyhow, I won't go into any more stories. I won't give you the whole four of them. If when I've ended, which would be in a couple of minutes, you may want to ask me what those were, and I might give you one more. But I learned to trust God that moment thereon. Literally, absolutely, trusted God, asked Yilly, I've never worried about money ever. And then you will recall when I said, Dear Lord, do you want us to have 1,000 men and walk down the Pennines? You remember some of you were there. There were 430 came that day or thereabouts. And the people I'm telling the story now, this is in the 1980s, I never told Jilly, I never told Pete. I said, Lord, pardon me, but if you really, and I spent weeks praying. I spent days praying. And the day came. I never told anybody. It was just that we have a collection. Then Jilly comes up to me and she says with Linda, darling, there's £5,500 in the collection. And I said to her and Pete, we're not doing the walk. She said, why not? I said, I'll tell you now, sweetheart, and I'll tell Peter, I asked God for £10,000 exactly. And it's not £10,000 and we're not doing the walk. And then God bless Methodist bags. That, down in the bottom of it was this little bit of paper, unscrewed for how much? £4,500, £10,000 exactly. I said, we'll do this walk. And my dears, what we're doing here is what God has authorized. Action. Almost there. I, initiative. Take initiative. The men on the roof, when they saw the Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, get used to it. Pharisees and teachers of the law are always sitting by. You want to do any great act of God, there are Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. I was telling some friends at lunchtime, when one of our first projects, I got all the clergy together. And as I was going up the stair, I heard one clergyman saying to all the rest of it, "You're not going to go with this fellow. Don't you know his reputation? He's an evangelical." And I was asking that we should hire the theatre in Cambridge for 3 weeks. Teachers of the law sitting by. And notice, they had initiative. They couldn't get there, so they got up there. And they started to rip the panels apart and the tiles. This is the Lord's own home. And dust is coming on the Saviour's head. And it says, Jesus looked up and he saw their faces. No. He saw their friend. No. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Son," has son ever been said sweeter? "Your sins are forgiven you. Take up your bed and walk." My dears, I say this to you. No matter what age you are or what you think you can't do, there is blessing ahead if God will find us that we can be trusted with his glory. There's something to happen before us. I've got something rattling in my bones. I'll say nothing more. But we've been called to Cornwall. Again. We haven't got as many. There's not even 3 loaves and 5 fishes. But I'm telling you this, faith has got to be there all the way. Initiative. Peter mentioned Acts 16. That's when he got the call, come over to Macedonia and help her. But he used this initiative, and it says this in the scripture, Acts 16, "We suppose that there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who'd come forth together, and Lydia was converted." Here he is, the great apostle, and he says, "I suppose it was a place of prayer." You start where you are. You use your initiative. If you want to make a note of this, and some of you are, read Acts chapter 14, verse 9, when Paul is left for dead, and in the evening went to all the dust and the blood, and his body hadn't moved. Do you know, they got him up, and they moved him away. Do you know what it says? Read the passages beyond it. Do you know what he did straight after that? He says that when he went around Macedonia, encouraging the saints. Bless him. Went around Macedonia encouraging the saints. What a man. Well, I'm preaching tomorrow at Oakington Church on the shipwreck. What a story. Won't go into that. I am almost finished. Acts 19:8. He entered their synagogue, I bet he did, and for 3 months he talked about the resurrection. Initiative. Acts chapter 28, having been shipwrecked, you've heard me say this before, absolutely threatened with his life, he's in chains. It says now the soldiers were going to kill him. And they're putting him in chains. He grabs hold of a piece of driftwood. He's been adrift for 3 months with no moon nor stars nor anything else. There's a bit of an island, and he's there. He's on this piece of driftwood in his chains, having been threatened with his death, been adrift for 3 months. It says, and it began to rain. How convenient. And it was cold. Oh, thank you, Lord. George and the farmers, they need this rain. And it began to rain. What God Almighty had this one man who David Suchet said he walked 12,000 miles to bring the gospel. This one man, it began to rain as he's getting out of the sea in winter after a shipwreck and death threats. And then he said, well, this has been some day. I tell you what, make it perfect. If a viper were to bite me on the hand. We're to wrap this day up somewhat. Bless him, and he's leaping around with chains on him to make a fire, and God brought Christianity to Malta. And Publius, who's the man who's sick, it says Paul went and ministered to him, and he was made well. Nothing stops the power of God but sin. Initiative. Last two. When you've made your prayers, trust God. Don't rehearse worry. Trust in Him with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy vats burst with new wine. I came across that text the very first few days of my conversion, though I was hardly converted. We're in a gas-lit little room in 8 Belmont Road in Dorset. A woman called Ruth read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. I said, would you please read that again? I'd never heard it in my life. Isn't it sweet? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. My idea is, while you're alive, you've done it before. We can do it more. Get close to God and get that feeling of the sense of God's presence that nothing shall destroy you. Francis McNutt, and this is a very good thing, Francis McNutt says this in his book on prayer and healing, and this is what I've done with many people. I'm seeing somebody in the next few days, well, in next week, I'm seeing several people who are in need, but there's one person I said, now take all these concerns. How long do you think you can leave them with the Lord? Well, I don't know. It may be somebody who's got a sin, for instance. That's happened. And he says, I can't shake it off. So I'm watching bad TV. I say, do you think you can go 3 weeks or a week? All right, let's put it. And so you take this concern, whatever it is, and you put it under God, like you put an egg under a hen, and there's 21 days with the hen. And don't touch it. Don't pray it again. It gets addled. You never touch a bird's eggs if she's gone broody. Now, I've done a lot of birds. And you put them under there, you count how many there are, and you leave her. And sometimes you've got to make a prayer where you say, now, Lord, I think I've got faith for this. I'm going to put it under you, and I'm going to leave it until such and such. That's praying in faith. That's trusting. Do that. F-A-I-T-H. And finally it says here, you shall have. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Now we at Through Faith Missions have great opportunities in front of us. It's not too late to pray for more laborers. It's not too late to pray for a mighty harvest. And it's not too late to pray that God Almighty would send fire. I end with these two things. When D.L. Moody came over to hear from America at the end of the 19th century, he was coming to Cambridge. His mission to Cambridge was vast, tremendous. When someone criticized him, this man in the crowd said, I prefer his way of doing it than your way of not doing it. And when Moody was coming across on the boat, it was a great storm, and the vessel was in danger of sinking. and they found Moody up there on the top rails, holding on to the rails with the sea pitching and tossing. And somebody found him wearing a stovepipe hat. He says, "Your name Moody?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Are you an evangelist?" He said, "I am, by the grace of God." He says, "Then why aren't you down in your cabin praying right at this moment?" He put his hands on the man's shoulders and he said, "I'm prayed up." Jesus said, "All things are possible to him that believes." Jesus said, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this." Faith is fundamental. It's active. It takes initiative. It means trust. And it means having those things. My dears, we're alive. This world is dark while we have breath in our body. Let us pray and let us act. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand? Now, from this day of conference, we thank you for all those and for David for all his activity. We say farewell to Grace. We're thankful to God. Just as you stand there for 30 seconds, what one thing are you going to take away from this conference? Lord and Heavenly Father, bless these, your people. Bless us, your people. Keep them safe in all their journeyings. May that which we've seen and heard today permeate our lives. And Heavenly Father, bring the fire revival to Cornwall and to spread throughout our land. We ask you that as simply as any prayer in the Bible. Keep us in the hope that we've grasped. Use our lives for the blessing and the conversion of others, for healing, for exorcism, for wisdom, for blessing. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you in peace this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.